The Creative Writer's Way.
Writing is fundamental. It is our way. From stories come history. From history comes belonging. From belonging comes a sense of where we were, where we are, and where we are going. This is the foundation of civilization.
This is Dr. Schuyler Madison. Find your story at schuylermadison.com.
Good evening. Welcome to the Creative Writer's Way. This is Dr. Schuyler Madison Fontana, and with me today is Don Mazzella. And we're going to be talking about how an author can view themselves as their own small business and how to get the word out there, which is also called building a platform, and where creative ideas come from. So welcome, Don. How are you? How are you doing today?
Well, great to be here.
Great.
Honored and pleasure to be on your program.
Thank you.
I look forward to talking about it and to helping. For the last 20 years,
good.
What I've been doing is helping small businesses grow, so this is right in my alley.
Great. Can you tell us a little about your background and how you got into that, and what does that involve, helping small businesses grow?
Okay. Well, I like to think of myself as a journalist first. As a copy boy, as a college student, I needed a job to finance my education, and I was lucky enough to get one as a copy boy at NBC News. And 3 weeks after I started, I knew what I wanted to do the rest of my life. And indeed, with a couple of detours, that's what I've done. I've been a reporter, editor. I've been a publisher. I say I've done every job in publishing, from copy boy up to publisher and then down again. And for the last 20 years, I've been, now actually 23 years, I've been working in the small business space. Ironically, for the first three years, I worked for Essence Magazine. They had a publication that they had bought called Income Opportunities, and they hired me as publisher and editor to improve it. And we were lucky enough, the crew and I, of winning the award as the best, the National Press Club Award, as the best consumer magazine. And when Essence sold the magazine, I started out with Small Business Digest, which is now in its 19th year. And what we do is we help small businesses grow profits in many different ways. And I also, as you may be aware, we also have a radio program called Recalculating.biz, and that's named after the award-winning book that I co-authored with the chairman of our company, and who also happens to be my wife, Joanne Lang. So that's a short background. I've done a lot of things in life concerned with journalism and with small business. So, you know, an expert is anybody that's 50 miles from home. Right now, I'm sitting in my home, but some people do say, I have to say also one other thing. We were for many years the developers and hosts of the White House conference on health savings accounts at a time when they started out. So that's our other achievement, because right now it's at HSAs and now with $22 billion in savings, which tells you a lot about how effective they are.
Yeah, very impressive. So I definitely get this theme in what you just described to me as, first of all, I think you were fortunate to have fallen into your vocation at a young age and just be able to just make that, you know, unfold through your whole life in different iterations and deepening of that. The theme I get is that you're a story guy. If you were a reporter, editor, publishing, even if it's fiction or nonfiction, it's all about stories. And then this small business orientation, which really is the backbone, I believe, of what what is great about America is that we can just start our business and make that happen. And so working in those two arenas, it you know, brings us to what we want to talk about today, which has to do with writers and people that want to tell their stories who are authors, mostly in the fiction realm, and how they can view themselves as their own little small business that they're growing. And I was just wondering if you have any comments on that, and you can apply your wisdom to the writer who wants to build their platform.
Well, as someone once said, wisdom is really a hard-earned experience. And what I'm mm-hmm. going to impart is based on my experience. And you're absolutely right. Writers today really have to be their own platform. The world has changed considerably from when I first started. In 1965, when I got out of college, you know, the big publishing houses, they were the ones that decided if a book was going to be a big success, unless it was something mm-hmm. extraordinary. But in today's world, I think the figure, and please don't hold me to it, is there are 17,000 books published every month. I believe that's a figure. And the average book in America today sells 280 copies. Now, 140
wow.
of them go to your family and friends. So that means it's really 140 people on average. That's according to the statistics that I've seen. Now, let's separate out the two, nonfiction and fiction. And do you want to concentrate on the fiction side or the nonfiction? Because they're kind of different ways of going.
I'd like to start with the fiction realm, which they say it's not as important to have a platform, and it's more important the book idea. And even if you know, have never written before, if you have this breakout, you know, high concept, you know, story, and it's successfully written in terms of how it needs to be edited and the story, that you can just then have a platform. But I'm not sure if one should not just start building that platform from the get-go.
I happen to agree with you. Know, I never thought about it until you and I had our first conversation recently. Hmm. But the word platform I'm going to adapt into my own writings, because it's an absolutely great word and great description of what a writer, whether fiction or fiction, should or nonfiction or fiction should be doing. Because if you don't publicize your book, it ain't going to go anyplace unless it's another Look Homeward, Angel, or To Kill a Mockingbird. But for most of us, and don't forget, To Kill a Mockingbird, to just use one example, and if you know anything about it, she wrote a totally different book, which the editor rejected and made her go back and write To Kill a Mockingbird. And then when they finally published the original book, most people who will admit it's not a very good book. But in those days, you had an editor that really helped you. Most people today, unfortunately, do not have an editor. Most people write fiction, and we'll stick with fiction today, write it by themselves, learn the hard way. Usually, someone said to me at the book show this year that on average new writers do four books before their first one is published. That's an interesting statistic. You actually write four. And then when I sat down to think about it myself, I realized that in my trilogy that I wrote, I actually wrote six different books. I started out one place and ended up totally different in my own case. So, and since that occurred in June, late May, early June, I've talked to several other fiction writers, and they've all, when they thought about it, said, you know, you're right. You know, it's a small sampling, but I ask your audience to go back and think about it. And then one of the reasons for it is you get better each time you write.
Exactly. And, yeah.
You know, when someone asked, I forget who, how do you learn about writing? And the answer was, you write. The more you write, the better you'll become. I look at my three volumes and realize now how much better I can, 2 years out, I could do with each one of those novels if I started over.
Yeah, but what I'd like to add that I think is critical here is that there it's almost like the writer has three jobs now. They have to write, they have to edit, and they have to publicize. And those are almost like three different skill sets. And you can write it, but the editing is also the thing that the publishing houses really used to it really made, I think, because it's very hard to self-edit. And then
you
may still have to publicize it.
You are absolutely right. I was going to get to that in a different format, but you summed it up great. The first part is the writing, which, by the way, is the loneliest part of anything. You sit there, and it's not by accident. I don't know about you, but I do my best writing at night from midnight to 3 a.m.
You and I are the polar opposites on that one. I'm a morning person.
Well, I used to be, but I'm getting up there in years. But I found right now for fiction, my best is midnight. But ironically, if I'm writing a press release or a story for the website. It's definitely in the morning when I'm fresh. But
okay, and different part of it, I think a different part of the brain and the psyche that's used to write one versus the other. One is perhaps more intuitive and emotional, and the other is more factual and just a different way of thinking, and that maybe account for why different times of the day resonate for you in wearing the different hats.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're right. I'm a more intuitive type person, and I don't want to lose sight of one thing and point out, no matter what the writing is, it is still all about people. And I always quote John O'Hara on this, who I happen to think is one of the great writers of our generation. And when he said, reporters get to see people at the very heights of their lives and the very depths of their lives. And what better life can you ask than that? And you
right.
know, I've been a reporter. As my wife will tell you, I still chase fire engines. you know, and my reporting infuses every one of it. And by the way, I encourage people, if you want to, there is one book to read, which is A Child of the Century by Ben Heck.
Oh,
which I haven't
read
about,
that.
Which it's about his days as a reporter in Chicago, but his insights into how that informed. And let us be frank, our younger years inform most of us. I read the New York Times book section, and they have these 24-year-olds that are writing these books, and they talk about their angst. The angst is good. But angst should be viewed from a long distance because you can better understand it than when you just went through it. And that happens to be a pet peeve of mine at the New York Times.
But put your angst to work for you.
Yes.
Because it's part of what fires the creative process.
It does. But you have to have a better understanding of it. If you notice the Steve Jobs' daughter, waited till she was older to write her biography, and which, by the way, is a very interesting book. If you read Isaacson's book on Jobs, and then you read her book, which I just finished reading, you get amazingly insightful. You should read the Isaacson book first, and then her book, because then you get to understand the angst, etc. And why and how he is. And that, to me, is the important thing about fiction writing. What is it Hemingway said, that You must, a writer, the role is to help people better understand themselves and the people around them. And
you just hit the nail on the head. Yep.
That's what I think fiction is about. If you look at the great fiction that has survived over time, you'll see what great insights they provide into people. And to me, that's the important.
Being the editor and then the one who can also build the platform, and to me, they are three different aspects of knowledge that one has to have, and also a capacity to do that. So it's almost like a writer is a writer, but not necessarily able to publicize themselves, build a platform. An editor probably can't write fiction. So it's like you have to wear three hats today.
Well, yes, and I always say you need someone else to edit for you. You cannot edit yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or beta readers, Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. The former chief copy editor of the Wall Street Journal is my editor. And what he I had an editor when I was a callow young reporter of 21. And he said, mm-hmm. a good editor will make a great reporter. And he made me cry too several times. Al DePoto, as long as I live, I have a picture of him on my desk to this day. He made me a great, I have to say a very good reporter, because I certainly did a lot of different things. But you need an editor, and you need someone who can be honest with you. That's the other side.
Right.
And I can't, I cannot tell you how valuable that editor can be.
Yeah, I've written a nonfiction book myself. I had two editors, and I'm sure it needs another. So to a certain extent, the writer has to be able to foot the bill now for the editing that when it was purchased by a McGraw-Hill or a company that was going to publish the book, the editor purchased the book, and then they edited it for them. So that's not necessarily how it is today. But I'd like to turn the conversation a little bit to the platform building, because that is independent of whatever book that one is writing. And can you give us some insights on how a fiction writer can begin to tackle that task?
Well, first of all, I tell you, there are some very good PR companies out there that specialize in book publishing. And while they may be expensive, relatively speaking, they are a valuable tool if you have the type of book. I don't mean the vanity press. I don't mean the type of publishing book for you. There are a couple out there. There are a couple of good publishing companies out there that edit and publish your book, like Dovier Publishing, that I find are honest. But you've got to be very careful.
Yeah.
But there are
true.
You have to understand, you have to be the megaphone for your novel or your poetry or anything else. Once you finish the book, that's only the beginning. You have to sit down and say, all right, how do I get it published? If you can get a good publisher like Penguin or somebody, even the best publisher are only going to push three or four books. If you get a chance, you should go to either the librarian conference for librarians or the book show in New York. There you will learn how difficult it is to get your book noticed amongst the plethora of books that are out there, the thousands of books
right.
that are competing. But it can be done. First thing is you have to identify, who's your book? Does it appeal to women? And what group? Young women, middle age, or older women? What kind of genre? Is it romance? Is it historical fiction? You have to really narrow your focus down and say, this is the book. Is it a science fiction book, etc.? Whatever it is, you got to say, this is my audience. Then from that, you have to decide, how do you get the attention? Are there book reviewers out there? Yes, there's one or two good ones that provide e-books, etc. But regardless of that, you have to start with your local bookstore. You have to convince them to have a book signing. You have to convince them and by the way, you should start way before the publishing date. If you're publishing, don't publish in the last half of the year because it'll be killed with Christmas and everything else. The best time to
It's almost like bringing a product to market, and you could also look at the theme, perhaps, and if there are aspects of your theme that are, you know, in the current zeitgeist that you could perhaps talk about that generates publicity. It might
yes.
be a theme that involves the Me Too movement. And so you, while you're not directly writing something on that, because it's in the zeitgeist or drug addiction or just things that people are interested in, you might be able to generate some publicity as you talk about that fiction book in light of the theme and what it is that it's helping us to better understand in terms of getting back to that quote that you had originally. Do you recommend that a writer have a website and blog and do the traditional things?
Definitely a website. And definitely on the website, put up a chapter. Your best chapter.
Usually
the first chapter. Mm-hmm. That's the best way. I have LonDonMazzello.com, where I have the three or four books. Should you blog? Yes, but to me, you should be devoting your energy to getting book signings, to getting influencers to read your book.
Mm-hmm.
There are people
mm-hmm.
out there that read fiction. There's if you're doing romance, which by the way is still the number one category to break. I think the easiest one in fiction to break into because it's the widest audience. I just want to tell one story. I was at a women's conference of senior executives, and I asked them, "How many of you read romance novels?" And after a little hesitancy, more than half the audience of high-powered women said that they read romance novels. So, there's a lot of hidden audiences in there.
That research shows that reading actually increases empathy in individuals? So everyone, I think, can stand to be more empathetic today. And also, our attention span. That's a whole other thing that's really going down the drain if we lose sight that we need to continue to read and have stories be an important part of our life and not let go of something that's been part of our, part of human existence.
Well, I've seen a confidential study that there's no doubt the average age of book buyers has crept up significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, one thing you have to keep in mind is and if you're doing it, there's a vast untapped audience, which is the Asian audience. Japanese
mm-hmm.
and Chinese parents. We went to the Fort Lee Library to drop off some books for their book drive, and it was packed. This is in the middle of summer, but there wasn't they were all Asians. There wasn't a single Caucasian in the entire library. And that's a genre that has not been attacked. The Asian American writers. So if they want something.
And now we have Crazy Rich Asians, which is breaking box office records and just, totally speaking to what you're speaking about.
And then it's going to spawn a whole, people are going to suddenly wake up and say, oh my Lord, well, this is a whole market we're not tapping.
I think that this speaks to what we've been saying, which is that a writer, a fiction writer, needs to view what they're doing almost as their small business that they're cultivating, and apply some of the things that you teach and that you stand for in terms of how to get a small business booming and going. And how can people learn more about you, Don, if they were, you know, wanted to see some more of your wisdom? Which website would you direct them to?
Can I just say one thing on that, which I think is important, and with writing? All of our guests on our shows and on our material, there's one common thread when they ask them what makes a successful person, a small business, passion. And passion is in so involved with writing. If they keep that in mind, passion will win the day.
Don, thank you for, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is so brilliant and very important to focus that, because from passion comes everything, you know, that burning desire, that focus, that persistence, everything. And so how can we learn more about the work you do and receive more advice?
Well, the recalculating.biz is my radio program. DonMazzello.com is my site. Read a couple of my chapters, and 2SB Digest is the number 2SB Digest is approaching our 20th anniversary as one of the recognized small business sites, and on there they have they can easily email me from there if they have any questions.
Fabulous. And that's Don, DonMazzello.com. I'm going to go read your chapter or chapters. I'm excited. So how, you know, just as we wind down, what drew you to writing fiction, and when did you write your trilogy?
Well, I wrote it, I actually started writing it 6 years ago, wrote one complete book and realized it was terrible, rewrote it and realized it was even worse. And then when I finally... hit on mine is called the American Family Sampler. It's a three-volume set that deals with two families, one white, one black, through the American centuries. And what drew me to it was an interview that I had when I was a young reporter in East Orange, New Jersey, and from that, you know, you're supposed to write what you know. But since I obviously didn't live in most of that, I had to draw on what people had told me and read, etc. And so I brought together the stories of individuals and put them all together into it. And what drew me to it was the fact that in America, you can make it. It requires hard work, passion, and some luck.
Wow. So that's your theme, and that's the very encouraging theme. And yes, we write what we know, but we also write what we care about. And that's certainly, I can see that quote-unquote passion in that too. And I think it's interesting that many writers have said that they get ideas from articles that they read in the newspaper. And just something intriguing, you know, just is reported. And the next thing you know, their imagination start what-if-ing it, and they have a story idea. And that was certainly the case with In Cold Blood, with Truman Capote, based on something apparently that was true.
Story.
Yes. So we can find our story ideas, which is a whole other subject that perhaps we'll do another segment on, and how we find ideas. And just any closing remarks in terms of wisdom that you'd like to leave us with.
The advice that was given me, the way to learn to write is to write. And if people want to talk further or find out more, my email is on all of those sites. And you can email me and I'll talk. Like I say, I have a motto, have mouth, will travel. And just, I love writing. I love reporting. Every time I've left reporting, I ended up because there's nothing better. And after all, isn't fiction writing reporting? And okay. Isn't all writing reporting? So that's how I look at it.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much, Don Mazzella, for once again taking the time to share your advice for writers. In you know, and also how we need to cultivate other hats, so to speak, and how the changing marketplace is affecting how we need to write. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to what you mentioned. This is about sharing our passion, and that's really above all what all that matters. So thank you again, and look forward to all your ventures and staying in touch with you. This is the Creative Writer's Way and Dr. Skylar Fontana and Don Mazzella signing off.
The Creative Writer's Way.
To touch the reader inside is to tap into where we live. It is common to us all. It is unique to us all. Finding that path is the hero's journey. The journey begins with you.
This is Dr. Skylar Madison. Find your story at skylarmadison.com.